Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians. We're going to continue our study in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fads of religion. Today, we're going to talk about the real deal. What happens when you have salvation that comes from God? Will you stand with me as we read from God's Word? The real deal, Colossians 2, chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we turn to You today. We turn to You, Lord, for understanding and insight from Your Word. I pray that You would open our minds and our hearts to receive the Word that You've prepared for us. Help us, Lord, to understand the great price that was paid for our salvation and to appreciate the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, I pray for those in this service who do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray that they will not close You out today. They will not put You off. But Lord, that You will open their hearts even now, convicting of sin, and draw them to You, Lord. I pray that those who are saved will have a new appreciation for the salvation that was bought and prayed for on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In 1970, at the age of 8 years old, I called upon Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And you know what happened? He saved me. Now, at that time, I share with you, I had no clue. I was clueless. I just knew I wanted to go to heaven, and Jesus was the only way. Yeah? And there's even been points, you know, through the course of my growing in the Lord, I've thought, did I really know what I was doing? Did I really understand what I was doing? Did I really sincerely call upon Jesus? Even to the point that I've had a doubt or two along the way. And you know what? The answer to that is no, I didn't have a clue. I did not have a clue. But the Scripture in which there's great comfort is found in Mark 10, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it." You know what you need to be saved? You need a childlike faith, knowing that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And you call on Jesus, and He'll save you, because the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But it doesn't stop at that point. You see, you begin to grow. When you're saved, you're an infant in Christ. You don't know much, but as the years go by, you grow. And you learn. And you discover more and more that's involved with that salvation experience. And that's what Paul is sharing with us today. An in-depth look at what happens when you're saved. And we start with the sin, or my sin, has been detached. He talks about there in the 2:11, he talks about circumcision. Now, circumcision, of course, was the Old Testament practice of cutting off the foreskin of the male child on the eighth day. And that's as deep as I'm going to go. If you're a child and you want to know more, ask mom and dad, okay? And so, for the Jew, that was a religious ceremony. And it meant, it had such significance because it was a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. It was a sign that they were God's people and God was their God. And that's good. But they didn't see the future meaning of it. You see, the future meaning of it is what Paul is sharing with us, the much deeper meaning. And in verse 11, he said, "In him you were circumcised with circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now that sounds very religious, but it's easy to not get the picture that Paul is painting here. The picture, it's something that can only be done by Jesus Christ. And what is being done is the sin of the believer is being absolutely separated and surgically removed so that the believer is never accountable for his sins. Paul, the psalmist in Psalms 103, I guess I didn't get that one in there. Psalms 103, "As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." Now imagine, if you will, every sin that you've ever committed, you have to feel no guilt for, because it's not held against you. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, those who place their faith and trust in Jesus. Jesus has done something for every believer that no one else in history, no religion in history could ever do. He took every sinful deed that you and I have ever committed. And when we placed our faith and our trust in Him, He separated it from us immediately to be remembered never again. Isn't that good? I mean, just think about it. Every bad thing that you have done, it's now as though you have never sinned. Now there is no guilt, there is no shame, there is no judgment, there is no punishment, there is no condemnation. Jesus has made you as though you never sinned as you stand before a holy God. You see, that's why we're called saints. Not because we're so good, but because our Savior is so awesome. He took our sin and He cast it far from us. You chew on that just a little while, you've got to say, wow. That means as I approach God, I have peace. That means when I lay down my head at night, I know where I'm going. That means that even though the world may point a finger and say, "Ha, you're no Christian. Look at what you've done." I'm a Christian not by what I have done, but by what Jesus Christ has done upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, my friends, I'm glad my sin is gone. But He didn't stop there. My old man is dead. Colossians 2:12 says, "He buried with Him in baptism." Now he changed his picture. He went from circumcision to baptism. "Buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith and the working of God who raised Him from the dead." Now there's a couple things that we want to talk about at this point that happened when you were saved and when I was saved. Number one, I died. I died. I was buried with Him in baptism. A picture of the burial of that old, of that old sinful man. When you were saved, now listen up, because you need to get this part. When you were saved, you were buried with Christ as if you had been put in that tomb with Him 2,000 years ago. That dead man was gone. That immoral man died and was buried with Christ. That liar, that cheat, he died and was buried with Christ. That just as Jesus was laid in that tomb, your old sinful man was also buried. You see, here's where Christians need to come to grips with a fact of a burial of the old man. Yeah? Because we forget to bury that guy. He's dead. Okay? Let's bury him. Let's leave him buried. We forget that in that we start to listen to the old man. And when Satan begins to tempt, and he tempts you with sexual temptation, you know what you do? You look at Satan and you tell him, "That guy's dead." When you begin to become dishonest or have an opportunity for dishonesty or temptation and lying or bitterness and hatred, you look at Satan and say, "That guy's dead. He's long gone. He was buried with Christ 2,000 years ago. That's not who I am anymore." You see, there are a lot of so-called believers that walk around and say, oh, we're just all sinners. We're just doing the best we can. No, you got to kill that guy. Put him to death. Your sin's been forgiven. You are a new man. You are now alive in Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about in verse 13 when he said, you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. When the old man died, the new man came to life. That's the good part. Now I live, raised from the dead. As Paul put it, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the real deal stuff, folks. This is the new man that came out of that tomb with Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you today, to live. We forget to live. See, herein is our failure. We think, for a lot of people, their faith is all about what they don't do. They say, I don't lie, I don't drink, I don't cheat, I don't cuss, I don't smoke. I want to tell you something, neither does a dead man. Your religion, your faith is not about what you're not doing. Even though there are certain things that do not belong in the life of a child of God, but it's got to be also, because I'm alive in Christ, I live to Christ. I want to live to the fullest I can possibly live. How about you? There's a movie that I enjoy. It's one of my more favorite, just not my most favorite, but it's one of my more favorite movies. It's called Secondhand Lines. You ever watch that movie? I guess it appeals to me because it's about two old guys. And in the movie, these two old guys, these two brothers, one of them's name is Hub McCann. Hub. Now that's a man's name. And they're in a place having their lunch when these, I don't know, four, five, six teenage punks come in. And they begin to be rowdy and to break stuff and make a lot of racket and disturb everybody in there. And old Hub stands up and tells them, boys, quit. And they look at him and they say, who do you think you are, old man? And so he says, and I'm reading because I can't remember all this, but it's just, he says, I'm Hub McCann. I've fought two world wars and countless smaller ones on three continents. I've led thousands of men into battle with everything from horses to swords to artillery and tanks. I've seen the headwaters of the Nile and the tribes of the natives no white man had ever seen before. I've won and lost a dozen fortunes, killed many men, and loved only one woman with a passion a flea like you could never begin to understand. That's who I am. I like it. It's manly. But at the end of that movie, the two old guys decide they're going to build an airplane. They fly it upside down through the barn, actually into the barn, and die, right? They had earlier told their nephew that they were raising the, what do you want us to die of, old age? But anyway, when they heard about their death, there was nephew came, and then there was this Arabian sheik guy that came and brought his child. And with that child, when he got there, they were talking about the stories of the life of these two men. And that child said, Father, you mean those two really lived? And their nephew said, yes, son, they really lived. You know what? As a child of God, I want to ask you, are you really living? Are you making this life count? for all it can count in the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at the Bible, and I know that was a secular example, but we're not limited to secular examples. You look at the Bible, and you think of men like Paul who said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, there's laid up for me a crown of life. You know, men like Joshua who said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Men like Isaiah who, when the Lord said, who will go? Who shall we send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. All people who wanted to live for the glory of God. Oh, listen. Yes, we died, that old man's dead and gone. But it's not about that old man being dead. It's about the new man living to the glory of God. Are you living? Is the question. Are you living to the fullest extent possible? Then finally, not only has my sin been removed or detached, my old man's dead, my debt has been paid. Here's the good part. Colossians 2:14 that we read says, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What about our sin? What about that sin that I was talking about earlier? What happened to it? Did you know that God just can't say, that's all right, nobody's perfect? God can't do that. Why? Because God is a holy God. He has to judge sin. Otherwise, there is no justice. Okay? And so, when it says he wiped the handwriting of requirements against us, what it means is, he didn't just erase it as though it did not happen. It means that he took care of it for us. Let me explain to you. Debt. You know what debt is, right? How many of you have debt? We all pay bills, right? What happens if you don't pay your debt? Well, they come and get what you got, right? See, debt has got to be paid. It can't be forgiven. There's no such thing as free. For example, free health insurance. You know, folks, the big thing a couple years ago was, you know, a lot of people need free health insurance. There's no such thing as free health insurance. Somebody's paying for it. May not be you, may not, you know, somebody's paying for it. Same way with your salvation. There's no such thing as, when you talk about it being a free gift, it might be free for you, but somebody else had to pay for it. And that's what Jesus did. He took it says it was nailed to his cross. You have to understand what the point there. When there was a debtor who could not pay his bill, they would put him in prison. And they would leave him in prison until that bill was paid. And on his prison door, on his cell door, they would nail a certificate of debt on that door. And that remained, it said, this is, you know, he's here because of this debt that he owes. And that certificate of debt would remain on that door until that debt was paid. And when that debt was paid, when he finally paid his debt, they would take that certificate and they would write on there, Tetelestai. Sound familiar? Tetelestai. Which means paid in full. They would release, they would give that man his certificate of debt that said paid in full and say, you're free to go. When it says that Jesus, or that your sins were nailed to the cross, that's what it's talking about. Your sin debt was nailed to a cross called Calvary 2,000 years ago, which stated your debt, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want you to know, beloved, as Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God, hung upon that cross, He looked into the future and He saw you. He saw me. He saw everyone present. and your sin debt was nailed to His cross, Jesus said, I'm paying for Doug Hamrick. I'm paying for Michael Weffer. I'm paying for Ken Worthing. And as He hung there, and they mocked Him, that was part of the price. As He wore that crown of thorns, that was part of the price. As they spit upon Him, it was part of the price. Until finally, after He had suffered and suffered and suffered, you remember what He said? It is finished. Telestai. Telestai. I can't even say it right now. Tetelestai. Which means paid in full. That was wrote across your certificate of sin. It says paid in full. Oh, listen, as I studied and prepared for this message, the more I studied, the more excited I became. And yes, you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, you know all this. But sometimes God just opens the floodgates and opens your eyes and you say, yes, praise God for my Savior, Jesus Christ. And then finally in verse 15. Said, having disarmed the principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You see, Jesus hung on that cross. I'm sure Satan thought, yeah, we got Him where we want Him. As Jesus was laid in that grave, dead, and He was dead, I'm sure Satan says, yeah, that's right. I win. The Son of God is dead. But on that third day, Jesus came out of that grave and was seen by more than 500 witnesses. And no more could Satan say, I win. Because when Jesus came out of that grave, He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And He paid the sin debt of mankind. And that which was lost in the Garden of Eden now belongs back to Jesus Christ. And He's coming again to claim it. Oh, listen. John 12:31. Now the judgment of this world, just before Jesus, right before Jesus went to the cross, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. What was He talking about? He said, I'm going to Calvary and I'm going to take the judgment of this world and I'm going to win. And that's what Jesus did as He hung upon the cross of Calvary. My question to you today is, are you a child of God? My friend, do you know the salvation that I've talked about? Do you understand? You know, as I said, you may be saved. And when you were saved, you just knew that you wanted to go to heaven. And Jesus was the only way. Wonderful. But do you realize the price that was paid for you? And do you appreciate the price that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has paid for you? Now, maybe it's time we take a new look. That we take to ourselves a renewed joy in who we are in Jesus Christ. I'm not that old man. I have been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb of God. I am a child of the King. I have a life to live. And I want to live it to the glory of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Here, let me help you. Please let me help you. Jesus Christ, we went through it today. Jesus Christ gave His life so that you could have eternal life. He gave Himself. He paid for your sin debt. Well, Brother Doug, I'm as good as anybody here. You are. I don't argue that. The problem is, everybody here is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So your only hope is Jesus Christ. The good news is, the Bible tells in the book of Romans that God has proven His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, if you want to know if God cares for you, He proved it upon the cross of Calvary. He displayed it upon the cross of Calvary so that if you'll believe in your heart that He is the Son of God, that God has raised Him from the dead. If you will call upon Jesus today, asking Him to save you. Beloved, He will do that very thing. Our Father in heaven, we thank You today. We rejoice in the salvation that You have given through Jesus Christ. We praise You for that salvation. Lord, sometimes we even take it for granted. Forgive us, Lord. For we were bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So today we praise You. And I pray that in this service today, for those who do not know You as their Savior, I pray that You'll convict them of sin and bring them down this aisle to commit their life to You. For those who are saved, I pray, Lord, You'll give us all a renewed zeal and appreciation for what You have done on our behalf. In Jesus' name I pray.